Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
All right, would you turn in your Bible to Philippians chapter 2 tonight? That's the question we're asking tonight. Do you believe in Jesus? I mean, truly believe in Jesus. It's one thing to say that you believe in the sense that you mentally agree that he existed and that he did the things that Scripture says. But I want to know, do you really believe in Jesus to the point where you're willing to follow him with your life? To the point that you're willing to obey him? To the point that you're willing to use your life to serve him? Tonight we're going to talk about Jesus as the suffering king. We're going to study just a very short passage of scripture from Philippians chapter 2. And I'm going to ask you to decide for yourself whether you believe in Jesus. As high school students, it's time for you to start to make your own decisions. And so the decision I'm asking you to make tonight is for you. It's not what my parents have told me to believe. This is a question for you personally. Do you believe in Jesus? Are you willing to lay down your life to follow him? We're going to look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 11. And you know what? Let's do this. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes as I read it the first time. I just want you to hear the gospel as it's said here in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 11. So, close your eyes, just listen the first time through. Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You can open your eyes. Let's look at this in three sections. Really, it's three movements: the incarnation, the crucifixion, and the resurrection. First, the incarnation. We've talked about this quite a bit already. God put on flesh. Jesus was the Son of God and the Son of Man. He was the God-man who could be the bridge between a perfect God and an imperfect man. It says in this verse, in verse 6, that Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. In other words, he didn't hold on to the rights and privileges of being God. Instead, he emptied himself of those privileges and that place in heaven that's perfect, and he entered into our broken world. He was in every form God. He existed with God from the beginning. He was a part of creation, the Bible tells us. Instead of holding tightly to his rights and privileges of being God, he emptied himself and made himself nothing. And he took on the very form of a servant. Contrast that with others in this world who have power or prestige or position. Have you ever seen a king who lived among the commoners? Have you ever seen a CEO or a professional athlete ride the city bus with the common folk who work in restaurants and who clean bathrooms? Have you ever seen, even in your school, a popular kid go and sit with somebody who's looked down on? It doesn't happen often. We're talking about a holy God who stepped into a broken world. He chose darkness for beauty. He chose imperfection for perfection. He chose brokenness for community. He chose pain instead of comfort. He entered into our world. And he entered into our brokenness. Movement number two. This comes in verse 8. Crucifixion. Jesus, it says, became a servant to the point where he was willing to sacrifice his life for you and for me. He humbled himself. It says in verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Now, I want you to know that death on a cross was the worst. Nails were driven in a person's hands, and nails were driven in a person's feet. And as you hung on the cross, you slowly lost your strength as you sought to breathe. With every breath, there was physical agony because what allowed you to pull your chest up was causing extreme sharp pains in your hands and in your feet. You would hang there and you would suffer so much physically that eventually either you would die of suffocation or your body would just enter shock and start to shut down in every sense. It was the death they gave to the worst of criminals. It was humiliating. You were hanging in front of everybody with no clothes on, suffering and bleeding until you died. He experienced rejection. He was mocked. He was spit on. And he was placed on a cross and suffered the worst of deaths for us. It's amazing how he cooperated with all of it. Like, being the Son of God, he could have done something, but it was the Lord's will that he would pay the penalty for our sins. And so he didn't defend himself. Instead, he went through with the redemption plan. Look at these verses from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 23 and 24. It says, when they hurled their insults at Jesus, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. In other words, he submitted to the redemption plan. And the plan was for him to pay the penalty for your sins. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. You see, on the cross, a great exchange happened. We laid on him our sins, and he offered us his righteousness. Jesus didn't deserve to die. Even though he was fully man, Scripture teaches us that he never gave in to temptation. He never rebelled against God the Father. He never departed from God's will. And so Jesus didn't deserve to die. But in being perfect, he was able to give his life as a sacrifice for you and for me. He was able to take on our sins and in turn give us the free gift of righteousness before a holy God. We can be absolved of our sins. Incarnation, crucifixion, but there's good news, right? The third movement is resurrection. Verse 9, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord means king. To the glory of God the Father. Because he was fully God, he was able, by the power of God, to resurrect from the dead. This is what Scripture teaches us. He overcame death, the ultimate enemy of man. and the ultimate consequence for sin. In so doing, he is exalted above all as Lord and King. He conquered sin, he conquered death, and he conquered the devil. And so he is super exalted. And in the end, it says, every knee will bow to him as King. The question is, will you do that now? Everybody in the end, when we face judgment before God, will recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord. But the Bible says, we need to believe that now. Because if we believe that now, we can have eternal life in his kingdom. Do you know how much Jesus loves you tonight? John chapter 15, verse 13 says this, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friend. Our suffering King went to the cross because he loved you. He loved you. He wanted to make it possible for you to have peace with God. And he wanted heaven for you. A good friend will sacrifice for you. But this man, Jesus, he sacrificed his life for you when he died on the cross. He suffered because he loved you. Why did he do this? He did this for your redemption. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 says this, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. On the cross, Jesus purchased forgiveness of sins for you. That's what redemption means. Let's look at the definition. I would encourage you to write it in your notes if you're taking notes. A simple way of describing redemption is forgiveness purchased for you. He offers redemption. He offers his righteousness in exchange for your sinfulness. A way that we've summed up God's love and the gospel for generations has been John 3:16. You probably know it, or at least it's familiar to you. If not, here it is. For God so what? Loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shouldn't perish, but will have everlasting life. That's talking about heaven. Because Jesus suffered, because he paid the price for sin, because he redeemed you, you can have eternal life with God forever, and you can have him walking with you right now. So it's pretty simple tonight. Jesus came, he died on a cross, he rose from the dead, and he offers you eternal life. But you need to make that decision that you believe in Jesus, that you're going to put your faith in Jesus, that you're going to trust Jesus, that you're going to really put him on the throne as King in your life. Have you responded yet? For yourself to the love of the suffering King. Have you made the decision for yourself to believe in Jesus? Let's bring this all together. I'm going to draw three circles. I'm going to draw three lines. And I'm going to add a few squiggles as well. This is a good summary of the gospel. The gospel means good news. Here's the good news presented in the Bible. The Bible starts off in talking about God's design. God created Adam and Eve put them in the garden. There was no separation between God and man. They walked together. And Adam and Eve had perfect relationship with one another. But then, as we know, Adam and Eve sinned, and with sin entering the world, it brought in brokenness. Brokenness is what we see around us in broken relationships. It's what we feel when we feel empty and hurt. We live in a broken world. Because when we turn away from God's design, it always lands us in brokenness. It leaves us with moments where we question things. It leaves us with this emptiness inside of us. Now, as human beings, we try to find a solution, right? We might turn to a variety of things. We might turn to sex or drugs. We might turn to things that appear to be good and helpful to fill up our lives, like achievements and relationships. But anything that we do apart from Jesus, eventually it just ends up with us feeling more broken and more empty. The only solution to our brokenness is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the gospel. He's the good news. Jesus came to earth, the incarnation. He died on a cross, the crucifixion. He rose from the dead, his resurrection. And because of that story, we can find the remedy for brokenness. He's the solution. The Bible says what we have to do is repent and believe this story. It says if we do that, we'll find the cure for our brokenness. Now, things won't all be perfect from that point, but we'll have hope of eternal life, and it will motivate us to, as best we can, with God's help, to recover and pursue his design. But where I really want you to focus tonight is right here. Have you figured it out yet that the things we try to do to heal our brokenness don't work? Have you realized that the only solution is Jesus Christ? Do you realize that in love, he offered you a solution out of brokenness? But you have to receive it. You have to believe it. And so the question is, do you believe in Jesus? Really believe. Not just, I kind of agree, it's the religion I guess I would choose. Or do you really believe in Jesus? Do you really believe that he's the king? We're going to end with a little time of decision. I'm going to take a few moments. We're going to be silent. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm going to then go from section to section. And if you're in a spot tonight where you're ready to say for yourself for the first time that you believe in Jesus, you want him to take your sins and forgive them. You want to find life in him. I'm going to ask you to look up at me and look up at your cabin leader. And the reason why is we want this to be an opportunity for you to kind of put your feet in the ground and say, this is what I believe. Now, many of you have done this before. That's great. You don't need to do it again. But there's some here tonight, I bet, where you felt that God was making things clear to you this week. And you're ready to say for yourself, I believe in Jesus. I'm ready to say that he's my king. So I'm going to move from section to section, and just in a quiet moment, I'm going to ask if anybody would like to declare tonight they believe in Jesus. Look at me, look at your counselor, so that they can follow up or I can follow up. And then we'll lead you through a prayer as well to declare that to Jesus, okay? So I'm going to ask everybody at this point to close their eyes. This isn't a time to look around. And I'm going to start in the back left section here. And I want to ask you, do you believe in Jesus? Are you ready to commit your life to Jesus? If so, I'd like you to look up at me and look up at your counselor as well. That's great. All right, heads down. Over here on the right, is there anybody over here where it just seems like God's making it clear to you what it's all about? It's God making you clear that Jesus is king and you want to follow him. If so, I want you to look up at me and I want you to look up at your counselor. Awesome. Best decision you'll ever make. That's great. Make sure you look at your counselor too, okay? Wonderful. All right, front section. Let's do it all together here. I can see both sections, okay? Anybody in these front two sections ready to say, I believe in Jesus? If that's you, I'd like you to quietly look up at me and look at your counselor. That's great. All right, let me lead those who would like to make that declaration tonight in a simple prayer. I'm going to repeat a prayer and then ask for you to just do so silently in your heart. If you want to whisper it, that's fine. But if you're at the point where you're ready to declare your belief in Jesus tonight, just repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you came to earth, died on a cross for my sins, and rose from the dead. Thank you for loving a sinner like me. Please forgive me and come into my life as my Savior and King. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, we're so grateful for this good news, and we're so grateful that your Spirit is making the good news clear to some folks in this room. Thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity to have redemption through your sacrifice for us on the cross, through your suffering. Thank you, Lord, for what you endured for us. Lord, help us to give our lives back to you and to follow you as the King of our lives. I praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, why don't we give a hand for those that made that decision tonight. And let's stand and let's sing to our King.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into Scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.